T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let me get to this guy who's been working very, very hard. We were going to give him a day off today. We weren't going to talk to him today, but we need to talk to him because of this whole St. John's thing, and that is the great John Rothstein. And I will tell you, as a programming alert for John, not only do you see him on TV, not only does he talk to us really at our beck and call, which we appreciate, but he's also the host of the College Hoops Today podcast, and his guest this week will be Fred Hoiberg, the coach of Nebraska. So he's everywhere. He also last night unveiled his top 25. But we need to talk to him because he decides to drop a bomb last night about St. John's. And that, of course, is the great John Rothstein. John, Joe is out today. He misses you. How are you, sir?
All good, Evan. Last leg of the race right here.
Yes. And what a race you've run. I mean, you got the top 25 out there. I just mentioned you got the podcast coming out. But before we even get to this title game, and I'm going to get to that, what the heck is going on? What happened? Chris Mullin's out? Who decided that? Chris Mullin or St. John's?
You know, from what I gathered, Evan, and what I was told, you know, last night before the start of the national championship game, St. John's and Chris Mullin had some conversations, you know, the past couple of days, and, you know, they had some good conversations, but then, you know, Chris just decided that it was time to part ways. He got his, you know, alma mater back to the NCAA tournament, and it was time to move on and start a new chapter. And here we are 4 years later after St. John's parted ways with Steve Lavin. The Red Storm are going to be in the market for a new head coach.
You're talking to Hoiberg, and I remember one of St. John's assistants and recruiters joined Hoiberg's staff. Was that a sign of maybe some of these issues that were coming?
Well, you know, it's no secret that Matt Abdelmassi, the, you know, person you're referring to, who, you know, was instrumental in building Iowa State to the point where he got Fred Hoiberg, you know, in position to get the Chicago Bulls job, did, you know, the bulk of the recruiting at St. John's. And then when Fred Hoiberg secured his position at Nebraska, that left a void in St. John's staff when Matt Abdelmassi went to Nebraska. You know, obviously that changed things, you know, from a perception standpoint, you know, on the recruiting circuit. And that was a void that needed to be filled. But, you know, now I think the big thing for St. John's is, and you and I and Joe have talked about this, you know, the last month or so, they didn't really max out their hand in a year where they had a chance to win the Big East and get a decent seed in the NCAA tournament. And you've seen some attrition already. We saw it with Shamari Ponds. We saw Cam Mack, you know, arguably pound for pound, inch for inch, the top JUCO guard in America who was committed to St. John's, open up his letter of intent with a decommitment from St. John's. And now, once again, St. John's is going to be in a position where, you know, it's going to look to hire a head coach. And this is what I can tell you.
Yes.
Mike Craig, the AD at St. John's, as we know, came from Duke. And at the top of St. John's wish list to replace Chris Mullin is going to be Arizona State coach Bobby Hurley. Now, Bobby Hurley has got a buyout between $2 and $3 million from Arizona State. He's very happy in Tempe. Arizona State, from the conversation I had last night, you know, has obviously got every intention of trying to keep him because they've went to two straight NCAA tournaments, but there is no doubt that he is on the top of the list for St. John's to replace Chris Mullin.
All right, let's talk about him because that would be a great hire. I think most of us would agree that'd be a great hire. Are you getting a sense that he would have interest in coming here? You say he's happy. It would be coming back to the East Coast. It's a different kind of job, obviously. Any idea on how much interest he would actually have in that potential opening?
You know, Bobby Hurley is obviously somebody who is instantly synonymous with the New York metropolitan area, but there's a couple of factors we have to take into consideration. First off is being in the Northeast Corridor with his brother Dan Hurley being up the road at UConn. That would mean tension. That would mean recruiting battles. Does Dan Hurley and Bob Hurley want to go through that? That's a big thing to take in consideration. And also, you know, Arizona State's at a place right now where they've been to two straight NCAA tournaments. They won a game this year. The program is recruiting well and so on and so forth. Like, to come here, even if it's coming home, to go through what looks like another backbreaking rebuild, you have to ask yourself if you want to entertain that and undertake that.
Well, I want to go back to what you said, because we actually had a caller earlier, big UConn fan, bring that aspect up of Danny Hurley versus Bobby Hurley. My first reaction is, I don't think it would be that big of a deal. I mean, if he wants to coach in the New York area, St. John's is a great job. Obviously, there's no way to know for sure, but do you think that's a significant speed bump that maybe he wouldn't want to battle with his brother?
Yeah, I mean, look, Bobby Hurley and Danny Hurley talk every single day. They're, you know, they're best friends, they're brothers, and when St. John's and UConn, and, you know, you've grown up in this just like I have, you know, when those recruiting battles are real and they're intense, you know, it drives a rift between both programs if both programs are relevant. You know, Dan Hurley's done a tremendous job recruiting out of the gate at UConn, and whoever takes St. John's, you know, as the next head coach is going to have a scenario where he's going to have to rebuild this thing again. And, you know, we saw it 4 years ago when Chris Mullin got here and there was hardly anything left over from Steve Lavin. It's unfortunate for the program that for the second time in less than a half decade, you feel like you're pushing the reset button entirely.
Oh, that's what stinks about it. And I don't look at it as, oh, he turned the program around. Sure, they were in the NCAA tournament, but you said it at the top. Overall, this season felt like a disappointment, and I don't know where they go from here. So to me, it doesn't feel like this was a Bill Parcells job where he came in and turned things around. I don't feel that way about it.
No, and look, I mean, you know, we've talked about this, you know, ad nauseum here. You know, St. John's should have been better. This is a team that should have won 12 or 13 games in the Big East.
Yeah, absolutely. How about Tim Clouse? Does he make sense? He's done a hell of a job at Iona.
Yeah, I think, you know, St. John's feels like it's obviously got to exercise things with Tim Clouse, but with Bobby Hurley first. I know that, but I'm sure Tim Clouse is on the short list as well. And, you know, there's a lot of people at St. John's, you know, that are advocates of Tim Clouse because of what he's done. I mean, he has won at an unprecedented level for the MAC conference. And think about, Evan, the guys that have been in the situation to move from that league to higher level jobs. Tim Welsh at Iona, Bobby Gonzalez at Manhattan, Fran Fraschilla and Steve Lapis at Manhattan. Also, you know, you look in other areas, people like John Beilein when he went obviously from Canisius to Richmond, Kevin Willard to Seton Hall, Ed Cooley to from Fairfield to Providence. Sienna, Fran McCaffrey went to Iowa. None of the guys I just mentioned have had the level of success that Tim Clouse has had at Iona. Now, part of it is obviously that Tim Clouse has been at Iona longer, but you're looking at a guy right now that has been in four straight NCAA tournaments. You're looking at a guy right now that has been the head coach of Iona College for 9 years and has been to the championship game, okay, of that league tournament 8 times. I mean, he's won at an unbelievable level. He's obviously, along with Bobby Hurley, on the short list for the head coaching vacancy at St. John's.
We're talking to John Rothstein. I got to ask it. Would they ever have any interest in Rick Pitino?
I get why you asked the question. You know, Rick Pitino is, I think, you know, one of the great coaches of this generation. But I think right now, if we're talking about what's right now within the realistic, you know, confines of possibility, I can tell you for a fact that Bobby Hurley is on the top of the list for St. John's to replace Chris Mullin. And I know, obviously, that they're keeping Tim Clouse at the top of that very short list as well.
I think that's a great list. Honestly, those two guys jump out at me. Do you agree with that? Or is there somebody else that maybe they should look at in your view?
I think that there could be other names that can emerge. You know how stringent I am with what I report, and I don't throw things out there, but I can guarantee you that if there is any news that I have on this St. John's situation, the first call is to Ernie Acosta and Dove Kramer behind the glass.
Look at that. Well, first of all, last night, I mean, you changed the whole night. You know, here I am sitting back relaxing, NCAA championship, I'm relaxed, and then all of a sudden you drop a Rothstein bomb or whatever phrase we want to come up for you. That was, and think about the timing of that. I mean, biggest night of college basketball, and you got that big, big story.
And, you know, it took away from the start of the game, which was, Evan, one of the best national championship games I've ever covered. And, you know, you, Joe, and I have talked a lot about just, you know, where this Virginia run ranks in sports. But this is one of the great 12-month turnarounds from purgatory to ecstasy that I've ever seen in sports. I think everybody was worried, especially early, you know, about would we get, you know, a great game. That was one of the best national championship games that I've seen in my lifetime.
It was great. It was fantastic. I really had a good time watching it. It ended late at night, but it was worth staying up. And you talk about redemption. How about, and I thought this was one of the most impressive parts, the performance by DeAndre Hunter. How he starts this game off 0 for his first seven. I don't think he hit his first field goal. There was about 2 or 3 minutes to go in the first half. And then not only does he finish 8 for 9 from the field, he hits the monstrous three to tie the game with 12 seconds left. He hits another huge three in overtime. How about the redemption effort from first half on for DeAndre Hunter last night?
Well, you know, all real, I think, tournament long, we've been waiting to see this DeAndre Hunter because he hasn't been dominant offensively. And in addition to what he did last night on the offensive side of the floor, Evan, I'm looking at what he's doing defensively and the way he can guard 1 through 4 and in some cases 1 through 5. Even if his offense isn't there defensively on a good team in the NBA, he could be like a Derek McKee type on defense, because of the way he can check so many different positions.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing that I loved about this, because this was the first overtime games for national championships since Memphis, Kansas, I love the fact that the free throw shooting, small thing, was great, that we didn't see guys collapsing at the line. We didn't see big missed free throws. What we saw was clutchness, especially by Virginia in overtime. But overall, both teams were great at the line last night.
Both teams were great at the line, and, you know, both teams were tremendous and efficient. And, you know, one thing that, you know, I thought was ironic in all this is, you know, Texas Tech is one of the best defensive teams that we've seen in recent memory, but a breakdown on defense allowed Virginia to send the game into overtime. When Ty Jerome was penetrating, okay, down three at the end of regulation, four defenders converged on him. If he makes a layup, it's a one-point game. He kicked it out to Hunter. Hunter made the three. The game goes to overtime. But to me, that was ironic that for all the great defense that Texas Tech has played in this NCAA tournament, one meltdown, one collapse allowed Virginia to send the game to another 5 minutes.
What do these guys look like next year? I mean, both teams feature NBA players who are going to probably or most definitely enter the lottery. You've already revealed that top 25 for next year, but next year, what does Virginia and Texas Tech look like?
Look, I'm expecting Ty Jerome and DeAndre Hunter to go to the NBA from Virginia. That's what I'm forecasting. Now, if you think about it, though, if you still have a Virginia team that's going to have Kihei Clark, Kyle Guy, Braxton Key, Mamadi Diakite, who I also think watching the game last night is a role player and potential glue guy star in the NBA. I mean, this guy is a technician with his feet defensively, the way he can protect the front of the rim, the way he can guard ball screens. And, you know, Evan, here's the interesting thing. We were talking about this a little bit on our post-game show. For all intents and purposes, you look at the scenario where DeAndre Hunter didn't play last year, and obviously this was going to be a new team for Virginia in the NCAA tournament. It was also a new team in the NCAA tournament because Tony Bennett made the adjustment to move Mamadi Diakite into a more pronounced role. Up until the NCAA tournament, Jack Salt was getting a lot of those minutes. Tony Bennett decided to expand Mamadi Diakite's minutes, and look at what happened. He was a star in the NCAA tournament, an all-star glue guy.
And just overall, what a great story, like you said. We were talking about it at the top of the show. It's one of the great stories in sports, and it's very tough to find an equal comparison to it, of losing the 16-1 matchup and then coming back and getting the redemption. It certainly wasn't easy. And you said it yesterday. It felt, I may not buy it, but it certainly felt like the college basketball gods were on their side with some of the ways they won games over the last couple of weeks.
No, it was an unbelievable, you know, NCAA tournament for Virginia. But how about this? In the Elite Eight, in the Final Four, in the national championship game, Virginia trailed in the 32nd, with less than 30 seconds to play in each game and found a way to win. They make the unbelievable play against Purdue. They get the fortunate, you know, call against Auburn. And then last night, DeAndre Hunter ties the game. You know, I was talking to several coaches here this week in Minneapolis, and, you know, they have said time and time again that, you know, in all their careers, they were not in a situation where that happened to them in one game, let alone in the Elite Eight, the Sweet 16, the Final Four, you know, or the national championship game. I've said it before, I'll say it again, a higher power ensured that Virginia won the 2019 national title.
Lastly, for the St. John's fan, would you be almost surprised if either Hurley or Clouse is not coaching this team next year?
I'm not going to speculate on speculation. I'm going to tell you what I have from a reporting perspective. Much I can tell you. Bobby Hurley is very well liked at Arizona State. Bobby Hurley has, you know, re-energized that program. Since James Harden, we haven't thought a lot about Arizona State basketball. Bobby Hurley has changed that. He recently signed a contract extension last year. You know, it remains to be seen what Arizona State, you know, if they would do anything extra to keep him. But this much I can tell you, Tim Kloos is ready for a high major job. Tim Kloos is ready to be in a situation where he's coaching, you know, at the highest level. He's proven that time and time again. He's long overdue for an opportunity. So I think it's safe to say that, you know, those two guys are at the top of the list. And again, if anything happens in the meantime, my first call is to Ernie Acosta and the Dove Kramer after anything goes out on Twitter. And, you know, if something were to happen while I'm flying back later today, I'll text you.
Who's better than you, John? Excellent stuff. Great job all year long. We've appreciated it.
Stay connected, my friend.
The great John Rothstein, and his report is brought to you by Bobby V's Restaurant and Sports Bar, the destination crafted for all.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.